Hey everybody, Shane here. Are you and your friends trying to figure out what to do tonight? Hit up do314.com, the best place to find out about all the concerts and comedy shows and art openings and other cool stuff going on around St. Louis every night of the week. They're also giving away tickets to shows and festivals all the time. Go follow them on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at do314. Take it from me, I'm always trying to find shows, and this is where I go, do314.com.
Hey, what's up? I'm Danny.
I'm Josh.
I'm Sean.
We're Brotherly and the Leather Jackals. You're listening to Rock Paper Podcast.
Podcast is kind of like it's like a radio show that's not on the radio. It's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast, y'all.
About to get rowdy on a Saturday night. Hope my posse don't start up a fight. We got whiskey and cocaine running through our brains. We'll leave you disgusted. We can't be trusted. We won't do no harm. We got the magic charm.
Kill you.
skit man.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Shane Presley here. Rock Paper Podcast, episode 74. Hanging out here with the guys of Brother Lee and the Leather Jackals. Wanted to remind you first, though, before I forget, this Sunday, we're hanging out 11 to 5 at Steve's Hot Dogs in Tower Grove. It's our one-year anniversary party, acoustic brunch. It's Connor Lau, Jackson Howard, and Drew Lance, Court Lenzelli, Denver Wade Trent, Steve Ewing duo with DJ Stan the Man added, Sky Burnt White, and Zach Michael, and I'm sure, I think that's everybody. I might be forgetting somebody. But anyway, come out. It's free music, $15 hot dog buffet with all the toppings, mac and cheese, mashed potatoes, bacon, all kinds of stuff. But anyway, episode 74, my guest, Brother Lee and the Leather Jackals. Welcome, guys.
Howdy, howdy.
I guess before we get going, you guys all want to say hi and introduce yourselves. That way, so whoever wants to start.
Ladies first. Go ahead.
Oh, cool. I'm Danny. I play drums and do everything else important in the band.
I'm Sean Kimball. I play bass and just drink way too much with these guys.
My name is Josh. I play guitar and sing, and I am the enabler of the group.
Bad influence.
Yep, the bad influence.
Well,
I'm just here hanging out again.
Yeah, this is a special guest appearance from my buddy Jim here. So, welcome. I appreciate you guys taking time to do this. This is exciting. This is our first time getting to meet, but we been talking for a while, having some laughs. And
I think there's a fucking earthquake.
Yeah.
How was that?
You when you said you wanted to do it here, but if it's quiet, we were like, okay, I mean... Like I was telling you earlier, most of the time during this time of day, it's pretty quiet. But literally when we got in here, there was a band. There was no one playing on this floor at all. We're on the third floor, and except for the band right next door. It was so loud in here when we first got in here, like an hour ago.
So we should probably tell them. We're here recording this at down by Limp Brewery.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so...
kind of reminds me of the movie Hustle and Flow, where like he's trying to record that one part, the one lyric, and... walks next door and offers a dude some weed. He's like, I just need you to be quiet for like 5 minutes. Grabs a bag, sniffs it, he goes, smash, slams the door in his face. He's like, thanks.
Right. Thank you.
Hard out here for a pimp.
Oh, yeah. Terrence Howard?
That's my jam, dude.
What was it? Oh, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the jam. I think it won an Academy Award, didn't it?
Yeah.
Best
that's
song.
A good movie, man.
Well, that's,
yeah.
Well, that was Juicy J and 3-6 Mafia.
What I loved about it is they had the skinniest white motherfucker in the hood making these killer beats and shit. He's just rocking the fuck out on his MPC.
Wild.
I was like, what the hell just happened? Like, where did that kid even come from?
Yeah,
it's like a Cadillac Records.
He's stocking vending machines for the day, and then he comes home and makes these killer beats for this guy, and...
Oh.
See, that was crazy.
Well, I think...
it's like DJ Quills or some shit.
Yeah. Well, I think even... like most of Nelly's beats, I know the guy that we made, Jason, that made a lot of those, like that's where that whole Basement Beats started. Like,
yeah.
That's
wow.
Then Nelly starts buying up some of his beats and blows them up on radio. And yeah, so.
Oh, yeah.
I would pay $10 to listen to Batter Up right now. I haven't heard that since like 8th grade.
Have you guys heard the new Nelly? It's really, really bad.
Yeah.
I watched
Stream Institute.
The Longest Yard with Adam Sandler.
Yeah.
And Nelly's in there. He's like the running back. And he's really bad at acting, in case you're...
It's not true.
What's the line? Like, he's like, that boy's got slave feet or something.
Oh,
oh my God.
Incredibly racist.
He's like, get that boy some shoes. Man, I don't need to. That'd be all
right. Right.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Could you get him some acting lessons while you're at it?
Incredibly terrible acting. Funny though. Yeah. Dude, honestly, we're not doing any, we're not bending backwards at all. This is what we'd be doing anyway, so I appreciate you guys coming right here.
This is just cool, man. Very exciting.
We get to have a conversation. It's really nice, actually.
Yeah. No, we were talking, kind of sounded interesting before we get going too crazy, but you guys are saying how you have some weird things have happened here at this location with limp and mm-hmm. stuff. Like
a couple of ghost stories.
Yeah.
There's been like it's one of those things where there's so many people in and out of here. There's 24 hour access. We have a key to the front door. We have a key to our door here. So people are literally just here all the time. Mm-hmm. So it's hard to know what's like the band next door or somebody in the basement and what's something like unexplainable. But I can think of like amps. Remember specifically whose amp. We also have friends that come up here and jam, but I might be my friend Jake Stoutmeyer. We heard a bunch of crazy like nonsense just screaming out of the amp. You pick up a radio, like I don't even know where that is coming from, the sound out of the vent. Like I don't know who's here listening
to it. It's kinda like Amityville Horror.
Kinda, yeah. It's like I was saying earlier, it took me a while to get like comfortable and not like not afraid to go to the bathroom anymore. Like, I'm good. I'll walk around by myself.
And you know, it's especially strange too because we were talking about earlier too. We just get sucked in this room, and you have no real concept of time. But then, you know, of course, we sit in here, and we drink, and we smoke, and then we play music really loud. So you kind of get discombobulated. And then when that weird stuff happens, it's just like, am I insane right now, or is it is it really going on?
I think one night I was taking a leak, and it was one of those nights that we stayed here really late, mm-hmm. and the lights went out in the bathroom. You know, and I was like, hello, you know, and then I went out there, but I realized it was like 2:33, and like nobody was, I assume nobody was in the building, because, you know, the place was a ghost town for a while, you know, since literally 1 a.m., but I used the bathroom to last, but the light switch is really particular, it's really old school.
And it's kind of hidden.
It's hidden away, you know, like, yeah. And, you know, it was, like, kind of higher up, higher than your shoulders, and a little, like, knob type thing, like an early 1900s.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, like, just, like, a little snap.
Oh, okay. Like a snap.
Rod knob thing, yeah. but, yeah, it really tripped me out. But it was one of those moments where I'm like, maybe I'm just really fucked up right now. So I didn't tell these guys. I was like, oh,
that was weird. They're going to think I'm crazy.
Yeah, that was weird.
I was down there.
My usual 3 a.m. shit.
I was down there taking a shit, and which, folks at home, if you could see what we have going on here, it's not really some place that you want to take a shit at in the first place.
Worse than a construction body.
It's pretty bad. I went. Oh, it's bad. Go ahead.
I went down there, and again, this was like probably 2-3 in the morning, and this is a 24-hour facility, and so like, you know, people are jamming all night long. But I went down there to take a shit. And the light just didn't work. And so I was like, okay, well, this is awesome. I'm going to take a shit in the dark of a haunted brewery. That's going to be cool.
Bucket list.
So I sit down, and then above me, this, like, sludge death metal band starts playing.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It's, like, it's just all bass, too. And, like, real grungy, like, dirty bass. And I'm like, I'm terrified.
At least they didn't have, like, a crazy pipe organist and shit.
Seriously. Yeah, I was like, okay, well, like, I can say that I've done this.
One of our early episodes for the show, we had my buddies Jeremy and Colby from Paranormal Task Force on, and to tell us some of their ghost stories and experiences, and they've done a lot of these like overnight investigations at places like Limp
Scott Joplin House.
Probably. I mean, they've done about everything. Like people call them, and they'll do just like you see on Ghost Hunters and TV and stuff. They'll do investigations of their homes, and they have some pretty crazy stories. But yeah, it's I don't know. I've never really had like those experiences personally for me, like to say if I believe or not or whatever it is,
sure.
But
just keep it that way.
Yeah, but
just
I
keep it that
but
way.
It's
when you start believing in that shit, you're like, all right, I don't want to be here anymore.
Yeah.
It's a slippery slope.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's interesting though to hear their stories, like, because they, I mean, it's definitely creepy, you know, like just some of the stuff that, and you know, I believe my friend, so that's
sure. Totally.
So it's sure. Like,
it's definitely one of those things where when you experience it, then you have no way of explaining it. Like, yeah. I have no idea. I've had a lot, like, I don't know, it's always studios or, like, rehearsal spaces. My old band had a situation where we recorded with, like, a friend who's, he's out of his, like, his dad's, like, law office, or we're downstairs. It's this really weird, bizarre thing, but the basement is so haunted. There were days where I was there, I would hear, like, the door open and, like, someone walk in and someone be around, and I'd try to acknowledge them and you would hear nothing. And then, like, I heard like a male voice, a female voice in the basement talking. There was no one there. It's like, this is terrifying.
I've had the same kind of issue. Like, my band used to live in Michigan, so we practiced in this old comedy club.
Oh, that's awesome.
And cool. So we're 2 o'clock in the morning. We just finished rehearsing for the next day's show.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nobody there. We know this for a fact.
Right.
We locked the doors.
Sure.
Well, then you hear like a static on a TV that's no TVs in sight. You hear little kids laughing. I'm like, I don't want to fucking be here anymore. Like,
yeah,
I want to go home.
Let's get out.
I'm going to go curl up in a ball and rock myself
to sleep. Leave my lights on.
Yeah. Turn on every light in the city. I don't want to be around this
right.
Anymore.
Nice. Drive home with your dumb light on, you know.
Right. See, I mean, it's crazy.
Drive home with your dumb light on. I guess we'll...
There they are. They heard us talking about them.
Yeah.
Right.
No, you let the bats in. This is opening a top vent.
But it would not surprise me.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me.
We have a little mouse in here right now. We just saw. We got a little buddy in here.
Yeah.
You can start paying rent.
Hey, man.
Be the mouse on the couch.
Right. Right, gnawing on my drumsticks right now.
Yeah.
You guys should, like,
clean up.
Clean this place up. Maybe get a broom.
Or run a mop through this place.
I saw that book the other day, though, because I work in an elementary, that the mouse and the motorcycle.
Oh, yeah. So, Ralph S. Mouse.
Totally. So you guys should teach him how to ride a motorcycle.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, we can work on that.
The motorcycle only goes when he goes.
That's like some Stuart Little.
Damn.
Stuart Little vibe.
Fuck how they're small, they can surf.
They made a live-action movie of that.
Is that right?
Yeah.
That.
It's one of my favorites as a kid. Yeah, they made two of them, and the second one was Danielle from Roseanne, which is on The Voice now. Yeah, she was in the second one as like the bully in camp.
Yeah. Wow, that's crazy. Real mice riding motorcycles. I can die now.
The first one was like late 70s, so it's like really just kind of bizarre like animation for the mouse. But it's like real people and everything too, and he's like always having to hide from the people and like the kids.
That's the struggle.
Kid gives him the motorcycle, he becomes friends with the kid. Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah.
Damn. Sounds
about right. See, that's the fun about this show. You never knew we were going to be talking about a mouse and a motorcycle.
Yeah,
good point. It's a good point.
Micro Mice from Mars.
I couldn't
remember
that.
Yeah, Micro Mice from Mars. Damn. First lunchbox was Micro Mice from Mars. Yeah.
Is that right?
It's
yep.
What about your lunchbox?
Kindergarten.
What kind of lunchbox do you have now?
Yeah, Street Sharks.
It's usually a gas station plastic bag. That's my lunchbox now.
So we were loading.
But at least it's polite and says thank you.
Yeah, it's true.
All over it.
When we were loading out the other day, like we were saying earlier, that we're all really broke and like our gear's kind of running out. And Sean was taking his guitar head, which is just—it's pretty small. It can fit in a Walmart bag. But he was walking out of here. We all have road cases and like a little bit more official looking, like, I don't know, protection for our instruments. And he had his shit in a Walmart bag, walking out of here. I was like, dude, you can't walk. Like, we can't load in with you walking in with a Walmart bag full of like
the cables and like the guitar head.
No, that shouldn't have packed that.
Real
at least
it's like that old
real expensive shit.
I'm just like in a plastic bag.
No, we just need to get like a Rubbermaid tub or something. Then look a little more official. Spray paint.
That's the merchandise we don't have.
God,
there's that old Ramones picture where they're all sitting on the subway. And I think it was Johnny just like had his guitar in a brown paper bag. You know, it was like that was
it sticking
out.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So you guys have an EP available?
That we do.
Five tunes.
South City Blues.
That's right.
City Blues.
Yeah, so on the Bandcamp site, and
You can find it on Bandcamp. Spotify it. It's on iTunes. I tried to make it available. We tried to make it free everywhere. I haven't gotten around to updating it on iTunes. So if you want to purchase it, if you do want to purchase it, you can buy it on iTunes, or you can just download it everywhere else. It's actually a year ago on the 5th. It'll be is when it came out. So just under two. Yeah, what's today?
The 4th. Yeah.
Happy anniversary.
Happy anniversary.
Yeah. That's why I booked this show today. You know?
Specifically.
That's why.
Wait, what
episode
is
this? Good looking.
But yeah, man, it's out there. It's fun because we were just talking about that earlier, that we're still having people that are hearing it for the first time, so it's fun to get their impression of it, and it's interesting. We've gone through a lot in the last year, so we're definitely in a different place in a great way.
Yeah.
But a lot's changed, so.
We've written an entire new EP and probably going to start recording that at the end of this month, so I'll have another one. Here pretty soon.
Yeah.
It's definitely something we learned from the last time is to, like, we were going to jump in and do it, I think, a month or two ago, and we had a new lineup change, so we were in here for, like, probably, like, 2 or 3 weeks. We were all new material, and that's only really getting in here, like, twice. We usually get in here, and we'll stay in here for, like, 6 or 7 hours, somewhere in there. That's a lot. Maybe 2 or 3 some nights, but we'll try to do, like, 7 to like until we go home and pass out, or 6 until midnight some nights or whatever. We tried to, it's gonna be a much rowdier, if that's a good word. It's gonna be a little more rock and roll. The last one was kind of like this big project. We had 6 heads in, and we had the horn section, and we had like just multiple everything going on, and I think we're gonna just take a more like straight approach. All the new music is definitely got like a live sound that we have to pull off this time. We don't want to be
the first one was very, very produced in the sense of just like the way that we recorded it. You know, you start with your drums and, you know, like we scratch, all got a scratch track and all that shit. But then but now I think we're just gonna record it all live. So that way, you know, it really just,
I mean, that's how captures. I did it back in the 60s.
Right, exactly.
And, I mean, some of the greatest records were recorded that way.
Exactly.
Yeah. And nobody would ever know the difference.
Nope.
Did Janis Joplin do that?
Did Janis Doors did it on...
The first Doors record was done over, like, 2 days, something like that. The first Black Sabbath record was done in 12 hours.
Damn.
You know, all front to back.
Well, it's cool seeing, you know, modern bands now... You know, discovering those bands and how everything was recorded, and like, well, let's try it. I mean, they did it. Why can't we?
Right. Exactly.
And some really good albums have come out of it.
Absolutely.
I was listening to Stern Show a little while back, and he had David Crosby on.
Oh, awesome! Cool.
And he was talking about what track was it now? Almost Cut My Hair.
Oh, great, great song. That whole album.
Yeah. He was talking about that song in particular, how that recording that Howard started playing for everybody to you know, listen, and they're kind of talking over, and he was saying that was like their second take, and they just played it live, and like
awesome. That's,
and they put it on the album, and it's like, it's just crazy to think that like that song in particular, you know, of course then the whole band, but being such an iconic kind of song, and they're like, just going up, okay, here we go, and there's
the album too, that made it on that record, it's great. It's one of my favorite songs.
Well, that's another thing, you can never predict who is going to warm up to what song. Sometimes as a musician, I mean, you kind of know sometimes when you write a song that it's going to be like something you kind of push and something
you kind of gear towards. I don't want to say a target market, but like when you write it, kind of like
you can feel like that's good.
I mean, that's where singles.
And, you know, you have certain friends in mind too that you're like,
they're gonna
love this. You know?
That's exactly why we started the band. I think I remember you and I had that conversation. We were like, we just want to be in a band that our friends would actually enjoy going to see,
instead
and
of being a nuisance and like, hey man,
I guess we
gotta
go to the
right
show.
It's literally, I mean, truthfully, in the best way, that's our fan base.
It totally
and
is.
Even,
just
and
just
even when people do come
with,
in,
and
whenever we have new fans or whatever you want to call it, you know, people, new listeners, we just get to know them so well, and we see them so often that it just becomes a big like party. Everybody's just hanging out, schmoozing, talking, buying drinks.
Yep.
It's fun. We've been playing a lot of shows, and it's been a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So thanks for coming out to all those people. Yeah. So many of our friends have been out there. So
yeah,
thanks to all of them.
I'm definitely grateful that we have as many friends as we do and family members that are so supportive. That, you know, like a lot of the time I see, we can fill out a room pretty well, but, you know, like most of them, handful of them are friends, but they draw the people because they'll invite their friends and everything.
Right.
But I'm so grateful to see that because they'll come. We've been playing a lot lately, you know.
And it's all
we've
local,
been playing once
you know?
A week, and it's all local around.
So
and like they'll come out to the show
continuously.
Yeah.
Come and
they'll come week after week, and I'm like, I'm surprised that you're not bored of us. But they keep coming back, and I can't speak for them, but hopefully they see something new every time that we play.
Yeah, sure.
You know? Like,
well, I mean,
maybe they're
go,
learning something new, or they're like,
you go
oh,
see a lot of bands that are
now.
Constant. You know, it's the same shit every time.
Right.
It's
same
like,
set.
Right. We know
same
they're gonna
song,
play this song, this song, and this song.
Right.
Like, let's go just
right.
see that. But
yeah.
It's too predictable.
You know, me and Shane have talked about this with other people, and it's like a lot of bands now are like that. But then you guys, like yourselves, will play a song, and then you'll kind of riff off something, and then you'll do, like, I think that's what's been missing from a lot of bands, is they don't do that, like, how they used to do it back in the early days, like, they play a song, kind of drift out into a jam, then come right back to the song, instead of ending that song and talking, they just go right into the next one, and then you'll talk to them.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a great motto. Like, we try to have set lists in the spirit of just keeping track of where things are.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
This new thing that I started doing, because we'll kind of just take turns. Like sometimes it's whoever doesn't feel like doing it or wants to do it. But like the other night we played at the Halo Bar after the Tame Impala show, which was awesome.
Tame
Impala just
and
so great.
I snuck out. I had to sneak out for a minute because you know we get to go for free. Everyone in the band gets to check out the show inside, which is awesome.
Which is really cool. Yeah.
And so I had to step out and take care of some stuff. We just sound checked or whatever, and I wrote a set list of like we should probably play these, and then the left bar is like what we should play, the right bar is like remember we know how to play this, and we can probably play this, and we can probably pull this off if we want to try it. If they ask for two more, we can probably play these. And
well, another thing that was fun about that too is that we just jammed in the very beginning. Like we had this like little slow blues thing going on, and
fun.
It's Tame Impala. Everyone's on drugs,
right.
You know.
So many.
And, you know, we wanted to kind of like give them a chance to come out, like get their ears back and
readjust,
readjust and like smoke a cigarette. And
that's
be
exactly
like,
right.
We want to be like, hey man, here's some of our best songs right off the bat. You
know,
like. But you don't want to play shitty songs. Not shitty songs, but, you know, like...
Sure.
The lesser of the favorites.
Well, that crowd, in that particular setting, that crowd, you got to win them quick because...
You do.
They're gonna,
exactly.
If they're going to hang in that bar very long, you got to...
You do, man.
You know, so.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're trying to... Josh and I have been in a lot of... I mean, this is Sean's first kind of, like, formal, like, week-by-week, month-by-month busy band. But him and I, Josh and I have been gigging for years. I mean, I've been playing music for... 13 years.
Yeah. I just got my 10 year.
Yeah, been doing the same. So it's like this, we're warming up to this as adults, if you will. I don't really feel like an adult, but as adult musicians, like it's interesting what works.
Seasoned,
and what doesn't
age.
Work. And
like,
you gotta, you have to know some covers. You have to be able to, like, you have to be able to play like you, but play something that somebody knows because, I mean, it's just a matter of like entertaining.
And also too, like we've been hooking up with these gigs that like we can play for a couple hours, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like kind of just
bar shows,
and it's just never been like that though. We've both been in like very much like 5-song set. You got your shirt, you got your CD, and that's what you do. It never changes. Every show is the same thing, and it's just not like that anymore. Like this new attitude is if at least Josh and I are off. Then we'll play the show because we can pull it off as a 2-piece. We prefer when the whole band is there, which is just a 3-piece. So it's easier, you know. We're kind of simplifying everything, and we're kind of getting like more straightforward. But at the same time, we're like working harder than we ever have before.
Yeah.
So
it's like you also get, you know, like you said, you had 6 people in the band. That's a lot of heads trying to get.
That's 6
girlfriends.
That's 6 jobs. That's 6 like
people
cars.
Can't take off from work.
Yep.
It's
can't
so make it to the show on time. Can't make it to rehearsals. I mean, that was. A big thing we ran into a lot was when, you know, these three could practice, so it was always me, the drummer, and the guitar player were always practicing together.
Yeah, sure.
Never fucking saw the singer until he just showed up randomly. Oh, here's some lyrics.
Right.
I gotta fucking sing.
Like,
no, man, I gotta go.
Like,
well,
oh my God.
What are you doing here then?
Right.
So,
well, and see, that's what it is, man. You gotta, like, you gotta like live it. Like if you're, yeah. I mean, that's the only way that I feel like you get anything done is you just you hang out together, you write together, you rehearse mm-hmm. together, you go to shows together, you go to eat together,
yeah.
you crash together. Like you just gotta. That's what the fuck a band is supposed to be.
Yeah, yeah.
I hate that.
So that way, like you know, when you do tour,
be like that.
And,
you know,
you're not one to fucking kill each other. You know, like, oh, my God, I just sit in a car with this person for eight fucking hours. You know?
You guys know?
No, it's awesome.
You guys know Bruiser Queen?
Yeah, I was actually
super,
getting ready to bring
them
up for that reason.
They're
they gave me great advice. Like,
Jason
back,
and Morgan, man.
Back when we had six people, and they're like, you know, they opened up for Wanda Jackson in the Duck Room,
mm-hmm.
and Bert is one of... Jason's like best friends, and so he hit him up like last minute. Was like, hey, can you know you play? And
yeah.
Since it's only the two of them, like they were just able to like get up and go, and that was exactly the way he put it. Is like, you know, you guys, there's like a lot of gears going, like a lot of things that have to go.
It's great
motion.
Advice.
Yeah,
well, and it's just real.
Yeah,
and I never would have thought that like it would really be like that.
Yeah.
You know, that like, it would eventually come to that.
Well, I've only known them as a duo,
mm-hmm.
but I had them on the show. While back, and they were telling me that they used to be a four piece.
Yeah, that's
and,
right.
And then they kind of got complicated, and now they just do it as a duo.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It's like, you know, Jason was saying, he's like, I just text Morgan, ready to practice? All right, let's
yeah,
go.
That's
so,
it.
So it does there is you know a beauty to being you know kind of simplifying things a little.
Yeah, man.
You guys talking about the trio aspect?
Yeah. And he
yeah.
mentioned Bruiser Queen right away.
Yeah.
I mean,
oh yeah.
So
much easier with you.
You can't know how much like of a role model they are for us. They've taken us out of town
mm-hmm.
a couple times. We're just a local band.
Yeah.
I mean, we literally play across the river every other month at Stagger Inn. That's like our usual get like gig across the river. Everything else is just like if it's down the road, perfect. If it's downtown, we can swing that. But we just stick around the city. And they took us to Memphis. We had a great weekend. We played with them.
Memphis as fuck.
Dude, they literally just we didn't have to do anything. We just borrowed their gear. Jason was just like, he texted me, and he's just like, dude, can you guys get down here? If you guys can show up, we'll just, you're good to go, because we have everything.
Yeah,
so
we're
like,
yeah,
all right,
they were coming back. Like,
get off work.
They were on tour, and so like Memphis was one of their last stops before they came home, and just like, yeah, man.
So nice of them that they would call us, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know if they called us first, but either way, they called us, you know, and like they...
Just show up.
If we have the opportunity, yeah, we'll be there for them, and they've been there for us. It's the least we can do if they call upon us.
They're great
people.
Yeah.
The nicest people.
Good people, yeah.
And it's like, that's what also helps longevity in our city, for
mm-hmm.
bands-wise.
Yeah.
There's a lot of bands that only care about themselves,
right,
don't
yeah.
give a fuck about anybody
true.
Else, but
true.
Then you got bands like
yeah.
you guys, Bruiser Queen, and there's a bunch of other ones that stick together. They tour together. They show swap, you know, Fivefold's not like a good example of bands that do that.
Yeah.
And
it's just a little
it's cool to see that
man,
there's other
you know?
Bands out
yeah.
there still doing stuff like
and
that.
And especially being seasoned musicians in St. Louis, and like, you know, we've been in bands for a long time, and you know, it used to be just so cutthroat.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know,
oh, it really was.
Everybody
gave
hated
a shit
everybody. You know, it was like, oh, it was terrible.
It was fun. It was competition. You
yeah.
know? Everybody wanted that
yeah.
show, or everybody wanted
yeah.
whatever. And it's just not
yeah.
like that anymore.
It's
like it's just
on national acts. It's like
right.
who fucking cares, man.
It just
yeah.
does. It's
yeah,
just it's so
everybody
different.
Skips over St. Louis
it's
anyway.
It's so different.
Sure.
I know it's interesting, man. The scene, if you will, is just not the way it was when I was growing up. And I see people.
It's so awesome.
It's so it's so much better. I think that I mean I've been campaigning this for a while, but it is because of bands like Bruiser Queen,
mm-hmm.
bands like Manus Brothers, who are also good friends of ours, and then
Bible Belt.
Search Parties, Bible Belt Centers, all these just friends of ours.
For years,
yeah.
And yeah, they're just people. Killing it. Everybody's so good, and everybody's so busy, and everybody's so like active right now. It's just
mm-hmm.
awesome.
And it's great that they're all just fucking talented too.
Yeah.
You know, like it's
too good.
Yeah.
Well, I was just telling Jim on the way down, like. I've been big on local music for a long time, you know, and I've had, you know, high school buddies, you know, following them around,
mm-hmm.
playing gigs and stuff, and you know, ever since then. But, you know, I thought I had a pretty good grasp of a lot of what St. Louis music was, and then, like, doing the show now, it's pushed me to kind of even dig deeper, and I'm finding, you know, like, I met you guys now, and, like,
yeah,
it just...
Yeah.
Not that you guys, you know, I'm sure, but it's just for you guys.
I have no idea how you heard of us, by the way.
Zero idea.
No idea.
Actually, I think I was thinking, so I don't know whoever runs it, but
I started getting a lot of likes from your guys' Instagram account.
Yeah, that's both of us. That's kind of a community effort between Josh and I.
So I started seeing your name a lot popping up, and I'm like, I'm going to check these guys out, because that's my thing. Like, I just, if I haven't heard you, I love discovering new music, you know. Ooh. Like, I mean, so I'm not one to sit back and wait for somebody to tell me to like it, and so.
God bless you.
So I took a shot. I went to your, you know, you guys had a link to your Bandcamp page through your Instagram. Mm-hmm. So I went there, started listening. I'm like, man, this is good. And I really dig it. And
Appreciate it.
So that's when I reached out, and we're here. So
it's great.
So interesting, because that's we totally roll around on Instagram, and we like, man, I gotta. It's just like part of this like this effort to promote and just help help the name get around town. And it's funny that it's funny when people say that it worked. So,
cool. Well, yeah, I'm on a musical mission. I've been for the last year and a half now. I don't really listen to the radio. It's all about trying to find bands that I've never heard of.
Yeah, that's great, man.
And I mean, and it's we've talked about this many times. Like, there's bands out there that have been around for years that everybody talks about. Lilco is one of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't fucking get it. Dude. I mean, good for them that they've got a huge following. It's not my thing.
Right.
But it's funny. I just got the funniest text from my wife. My 4-year-old is in our house right now singing Avett Brothers.
It's like, say the Avett Brothers.
I was like, it's got a following. Like, that's pretty awesome.
Damn, that's so cool. So young.
Or Shane was like, hey, you know, you want to do this show with me? So I listened to your stuff last night and then finished up today. I'm like, these guys are fucking great. Yeah. Like, it's not the normal stuff. It's like they have a mixture. You can hear so many different influences coming from so many different places.
And that's literally the point, man. Of just you know, a huge Beatles fan.
Yeah.
And so, you know, like, you get, if you're feeling the blues, you know, or if you're like, if you want to listen to a folk song, or, you know, you want to get like heavy, and, you know, like they just had it all. And like, that was, this is my first time ever being a singer and a songwriter in a band as well, or playing guitar.
Right.
So like, whenever I'd bring the initial ideas to the table, like, it was all just really different, because one, I'm just trying to fucking figure it out. You know, but then two was
it was some work, man, to get I don't know, a lot of encouraging you to get into that like role.
Yeah,
dude's a bass player. I mean, you know,
mean potatoes, man.
Yeah. And now I'm a bass player.
Right,
say that with pride.
That's how I think now.
Sean's always played guitar
and singer songwriter.
Literally, the setup is just
entirely.
It's just because Josh and I, from the start, just liked playing music, and then Sean's just because we lost a bunch of members like within like a few months. We went from 6-piece to like 4-piece, and then it kind of became this like, I don't know, I think we thought there was this rule that we had to have at least so many people involved, heads, like, and then it's just not like that anymore. It's like who shows up, who's here every day, who actually is chiming in on like the group message or whatever the case may be. So yeah, it's just who wants it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And if you wanna play, then you gotta come to practice, and you gotta be. And then there's only three of us that are willing to do
that. Half the time we don't even use the group message. Like, we don't even use the group
message
because we're all just together all the time.
Yeah, we all
hang. Yeah,
that's the good part about playing music with these two. You know, is that I hung out with these guys before I joined the band for a solid like 8 months. Where once we like started hanging out, when I first met everybody, it was like every day and every other day, and like I would call these guys all the time, and then they found out that I played music, but it, you know, like, they heard me just fiddle
they've
never
seen
me on stage or do anything.
Sean opened for a Jackal show probably about a year
ago, first time I played in years,
and it was literally, I remember the conversation after he was done, we were kind of all hanging out, we're like, well, we gotta totally grab Sean, so he was playing guitar doing backups and stuff with us as well, and then we lost our bass player like super suddenly, and then it was like, well, should we get a new bass player? And then it just was not working out. Like, two guitars and drums, that doesn't make sense. And then it was like, remember we had a show and we were practicing without that, but we have gear, because like I said,
for
Josh
bass.
Is a
bass
player.
I literally just said,
Sean, Sean, do you want to just pick up the bass, man? We gotta just like try this. We gotta just figure it out. So now he plays bass. Like, it's just crazy.
Took me a little bit to get into it, but now
like
I love it.
It's kind of a different way of thinking about it.
Totally different way of thinking, and a lot less pressure.
Like,
I can really listen to both of the guys.
I play guitar like a bass player.
You know,
opposite.
Like, I just, it's really nice perspective. You know, like, I get to listen to both of these guys, and find the medium ground in between and be like, how can I link these two? You know, like what would fit in
totally,
here?
Yeah.
When do I need to be busy on the bass and when do I need
right,
to
just lay back
and
rhythm?
Exactly. Just, you know, stay with the rhythm. But Danny gave me great advice and that changed everything, the way that I played. And I started paying attention to it in other like musicians and songs that I listened to. Said, look at his kick drum.
Yeah.
When is happening? You
West,
know, and I
West
never even thought like
right
that because I've never
played
on the bass.
Man,
and I was like, and once
totally.
You said that to me, I was like, oh shit, that's.
And
then
yes.
right when I lined it up and
yeah.
really, really paid attention to what you're doing on the kick drum, like,
bass drum.
Changed
it's a fun
everything
challenge.
For
it's
me.
It's a fun challenge.
It's a
too.
Challenge,
like,
yeah.
Kinda,
I was just like, all right, so I need to change these notes. But it locked everything together, and then I was, man, I'm hooked now.
That's awesome.
It's. So I'm definitely
like
lucky, but I get to hang out.
I had in like 2 seconds.
Oh, for real? Yeah, I was like, I was watching as you guys were talking. I'm like, okay, that just led into everything that I was going to ask. So that worked out.
It's like we got 5 minutes to run.
We're a bunch of chatty Cathys, man.
Chatty.
It's cool, though. Like, I've talked to a lot of bands that have done line changes and all the, you know, various things. And it's, you know, sometimes it's necessary, but it's also sometimes, you know, if you never take maybe you don't realize it then, but it leads to something like this where you finally find the right mix of three
totally
guys, four guys,
totally.
Or whatever it is. And
I mean, it's such a blessing, man. Like I'm having the funnest time playing music that I've ever had. And like I said, just got the 10-year, and like this is the best.
Sure.
So is there anything you guys think that you're missing? Or do you think you got
a new beer?
Yeah, just
it must have been like sound wise. It's like you're in any key sound.
I would love to have
organ.
Like that. Yeah,
organ.
Just organ would like just set it off. But again, it's one of those things that
if it happens, it happens.
Yeah, and finding the person that can keep up too. Because I mean, like I said, we all hang out together, so
it's kind of a lifestyle.
Yeah,
we get
fucked up together.
I mean,
you know, like
I've watched people come and play with us and jam with us, and then we've kind of watched them slowly not come around anymore. And it's,
I don't know if it's like we freak them out.
I don't know what it is. That's kind of the long running joke with Josh and I, because originally it was just Josh and I just started the band as a 2-piece.
Yeah,
as long as we're doing the history, and it was originally just called Brother Lee. And it was just supposed to be a 2-piece, just him and I. And,
but again, too, it was like I said, my first time ever playing guitar and singing.
Yeah.
Like, our very first song that we ever wrote, anytime I sang, I would play guitar. Like, we worked it out.
That was the idea.
And, because
I just
couldn't play and sing at the same time.
Wow. It's actually on our band camp, and I just listened to the old recording today we were listening to when we were going to get food. I'm so scared. Yeah, you just sound like upset.
It's a pressing to learn, though.
It
play
is.
Sing
really
at the same time, or
it takes a long time.
It's like
time.
Sitting down and trying to play drums when you're not a drummer. You're like, oh my god,
sure.
I have to like be coordinated.
And
in
see,
ways
perspective was so skewed because I've only played the drums. Like I said, for like 13 years, I've been in several bands. I know my role, and I've been doing it for a long time. So it was interesting playing with someone who hadn't, but. At the same time, it's like, you're not a bass player, man. You're obviously a guitar player. Because him and I played a band before we started a band together. He played guitar in one of my old bands, but it was his first band, you know, as a guitar player.
I had my Squire guitar and my pawn shop, solid state amp. Didn't have a tuner. Like, I didn't even know chords.
Right.
Like I said, from just jumping in.
Just
jumping in, because we had this mutual friend that was like...
Corey Tarrant,
my dude.
Corey fucking Tarrant.
And he was just like, he showed me A minor. You know, like just the easiest fucking chord there could be. Mm-hmm. And he was like, oh yeah, you can play guitar. He's like, why don't you come jam with me and my friends? And then like that was how I met him and everything. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like then it just kind of evolved from that, and I sat at home, nerded out, and just played a lot of guitar and moved away, and then all I had was like just a guitar. I didn't have any friends, so just played, and came back, and I was a little hungry, and I was like, "Damn, you want to jam?" And then it was just us two, and then we met another friend, and he was like, "I play bass," and like, okay,
I was actually
very
against the idea from the start, because I had been in a lot of bands that would get too many people involved, too many heads, and I'm a very outspoken person, and I definitely like to have, like, I don't know, much like we were saying before, if you're in the band, it needs to be like what you're doing. Like, I've never half-assed a band in my whole life. It's like what I'm doing when I'm thinking about it when I'm at work, I'm thinking about it when I'm out, and like planning on something next and scheduling something. And I totally did not want a bass player. I also just really like the idea of being a two-piece.
We're real into like the Black Keys and shit.
The Blackfoot Gypsies are some friends of ours from Nashville, and they rolled through like right around the same time, and they're just this rowdy, gnarly two-piece, and I was like, we can fucking do that. I mean, not that good, but like, we can do that.
And they're like, they're totally like just blues based and everything. I was getting really into blues.
But it was his level of comfort, so it was like, alright, bass player. And then it was like, he's got a buddy, alright, he plays keys. And then it was like, this one of these things where it was like friends from Illinois, because none of us are from St. Louis. So when we started the band, it was actually in Collinsville, Illinois. I went to school in Edwardsville.
We're all just small town refugees.
So we're just literally, it's ridiculous where we started, like where we started the band. It's in a split level duplex. We're not allowed to play music in there, but
all the neighbors liked it.
Liked it, and they never called the cops on us, never once. Bless them, man. Never once. We got away with their parties and music. In like this neighborhood, with a white picket fence next door, and a family of four, I don't know how we got away with it.
Yeah, but then,
but
to bring it back around, if we could find a keys player, that is what it's
needed. That's right.
It was like you're talking about how bringing new people in and getting rid of people. It's like, I don't know where the fuck I was going with this conversation. I just
Never mind. It is one of those things where we went from a two piece to a three piece, and then it was like, well, his friend has keys, and then we really wanted a second guitar. It was kind of wild.
We had three guitar players at one point.
For the better part,
we were
the
goddamn Eagles.
Our friend Bobby Stevens, who's a super talented local singer songwriter, his record is so awesome.
And I met him my job. Like, he got a job in the kitchen, and he had a guitar tattoo, and I was like, let's talk about guitars. And then he was like, I've got this record here, and he gave it to me, and I went and I put it into my car, and I was like, what the fuck, man? Like, this is awesome. Then we were like, hey, you want to come jam?
But he just played acoustic, so we had electric guitar, and then a mic'd, like, he would DI acoustic. And it was just
so all the acoustic that you hear on the record too is Mr. Bobby Stevens.
And then Dylan Dowdy, who's in Search Parties, he played keys for us, he plays keys for them. That boy, man, he was just the busiest guy ever, and still just pulled everything off. So he's a full time
player. And he's cool about it, just too. So cool. You never know that he had 70 different things running
right
in his brain.
Totally.
You know,
and a career. He's got a career, a house, two dogs, a wife.
He just got married.
Good for you, Bill.
But it just became one of those things, what we were talking about before, where we don't know if it's us or if it's just what it is, but people don't stick around. So when they do, it's like, you kind of bond over that, and I'm very much just like that. Like,
we gave Sean AIDS. That's the only reason why
they actually owe me one. They owe me one big time. I just happen to stick around, but that's what happens. Like, it helps that we were friends for so long before, because even if I weren't involved, I would still be hanging out with these guys. So I'm like, well, it's like music too. We might as well do it together.
Kind of just makes
sense. But, because we hang out, Josh, you said this earlier, because we hang out so much, it makes it a lot easier to play music together. Everybody's pretty good with the flow. If anybody comes up with anything, you'd be like, that sounds cool. All right, well, whatever, man, let's do it. And then somehow by practicing... we drink so much, we practice and have a good time, but it's like boys' time. It's like us just hanging out.
Oh, sure, man.
We'll take as many breaks as we want, but we'll get back to business. And just by hanging out and like drinking and kind of getting phased out and doing whatever, these songs have really come together, these new songs as a trio, written as a trio, and then.
Now it's like everything's falling into place
and really well.
I'm super
proud and surprised and happy.
Yeah.
And It's worked out really well. We just got to keep working, and
yeah,
we've got the ambition now that we're.
And then when we do have the ladies come to practice, I believe it gets turned on. You know, like, we definitely step it up.
Where are those two, by the way?
I think they're just out there chilling. Okay,
yeah.
Cool. Good.
That's why
good
I had to hand it up.
They went out to get drunk. Good.
Jessica goes, Whitney, you want to go drink some whiskey?
He's like, yes. Yes, please.
So,
oh, man.
Yeah. They're hanging at Jess's now.
So what's coming up then? What do you guys, got some shows you want to...
Yeah, we've got this new mantra. It's been fun to get around once a week. We try to play once a week in the city. The next one is going to be this Saturday at Mangia Italiano on Grand. And that's going to be like a late night gig.
We literally got that one. What
just
was that?
Showing up there Monday.
Yeah, it was Monday night. Yeah. Because it's 3 a.m. And,
and
all the other bars are closed. And
Halo
Bar
was closed,
yeah.
So here we came.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, said, hey, do you want to play Saturday? Like, yeah, sure. Okay.
Yeah,
again,
I remember he
that,
said
that like moving gears thing. You know, it was, we were just able to go. Yeah,
sure.
Yeah,
literally, everybody was here, like, hey, you guys want to play Saturday? Cool. We'll play Saturday. So we're gonna do that the following week. And talking about Bobby Stevens and his record, we're playing June 11th at the Tap Room, which is downtown.
Yeah.
It's called the Bad Boys Rock and Roll Tour.
they're
Mr. Andy Cook.
A friend of ours, yeah, from, oh man, he's on tour. Andy Cook is rolling through. He's an old buddy of ours. I played a set with him and Bobby, like, one time I filled in for a show for them. So it's Thursday night. We've played the Tap Room on Thursdays a couple times. It's a free show. It's going to be super fun. But that one is going to be, like, too fun. It's going to be all the homies. So you should come out to that. Anybody, everybody that's free, because it's free.
Yeah,
It's right around my birthday, so I'm going to be having a good time.
It's free, and there's an 8% beer, you know, at the same price as 4%. So.
Right. Week after that, we're doing Foam, which will be fun. That's on Cherokee. That's the 18th.
Yeah.
And then we get to play the RFT Showcase this year, which is probably the coolest thing that's going on this
Seriously.
Year for us. This is just going to be fun. And
yeah.
It's all of our friends. We're talking Shitstorm, Bruiser Queen, literally everybody.
Yeah, Breakmouth Annie.
Breakmouth Annie.
Yeah. And we got nominated for Best Rock Band for RFT, which, you know, none of us saw that coming. Like, that was
not at all.
But then
cool.
we're
awesome.
Yeah, but then we're up against
our
Bruiser,
friends.
Yeah, our
just
friends
our
too, you know.
Who
like,
totally deserve it and
yeah,
will get
yeah,
it over
exactly.
us. Like
yeah.
those they're both of those bands, Bruiser Queen and Shitstorm, were tour mm-hmm. monsters. Like they're never here. They're always out, which is great. So that's the 20th. It's it's on Manchester. It's in the Grove. We're gonna play at the Gramophone at 10 o'clock. It's kind of this like all day in the evening like showcase.
Right. They've been doing a lot of this kind of like they just had that indie hop
last
weekend.
Yeah,
it's kind of fun to these like kind of almost like you know like pub crawl kind of
it totally
kind of
is.
You know
Dude,
things like
we
it.
Just did lo-fi
yeah.
for Cherokee Street too, and that was oh man that was so awesome like 18 bands in one day
yeah.
like just all down
all
Cherokee
day.
And
yeah.
we played in Ice Cream Cakes, which is like a horror themed
ice cream shop.
Yeah, and
she does some cool stuff.
Yeah,
she
does,
is.
Man.
Yeah.
She does. Yeah,
it's just fun to see, especially. In this area with Cherokee and Broadway and stuff, it just there's a lot of really cool events going on and that I'm sure you guys have seen my stuff, but I'm always trying to pump all the events, trying to get people to go
appreciate
and
that
support local music and these venues and keeping this
absolutely.
Stuff going because these are some really neat things that you know not every city has and every
so once again it's like that
true.
Unity thing
yeah.
coming together like. It's not cutthroat anymore.
Right.
Like, everyone's just wanting to play
sure.
those kind of
well,
things.
Well, everybody's stuck
everybody...
in that mindset. I've got to go to Verizon. I've got to go. It's like,
right.
dude, there's so many fucking cool things
yeah.
going on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
yeah. Right down the street, man.
Right down
the
street.
You don't
have
to go anywhere.
Street,
you don't have to go
yeah.
anywhere.
It's amazing.
Right
and even if you don't know about it, and then you stumble upon it, you're like,
yeah.
where the fuck did this come from?
Right.
This is
yeah.
awesome.
Well, and that's
yeah.
this new rule that we kind of started doing, too. It's something that we try to do as much as we can. We're working less because we're playing more music. Actually, it's really funny because this entire month, literally, we're playing like four or I guess like six shows in June.
A lot.
Six or seven, and they're all free. So
all
I don't think
free
we're gonna get, we're probably
no
not going to get paid for like close to any of them. So we're playing for free all month, and it's just like couldn't be more fun for how like
yeah.
And I'm like, man, I love how free like. as a someone who loves going to shows and has always been into like live music, if it's free, I'm like, oh shit, yeah! Like I'm gonna spend twice as much as the bar. I'm gonna do whatever. I'm gonna like, I'm definitely buying that band CD then or whatever.
Right.
You know?
Oh yeah,
right, exactly.
And it's just, it's so great that the city can do that and they can, venues can afford to pay the bands, because we do get paid. We do get treated very well. We are the last band to ask for money because we just don't give a shit. There's just so much else involved that we know about. I mean, we're coming to this
as broke as we are,
right?
So, you know,
we're fortunate enough to be asked to play somewhere. If we can do it, we're gonna do it, and it doesn't really matter about how much money we make, because we have friends like Zach Gibbons who's gonna do our new record, and he's gonna do it for like dirt cheap.
Yeah,
he's just like another one of these talented seasoned dudes. He plays in Cave of Swords, which is an awesome
Cave
band
Swords,
based here.
I think,
fantastic.
I think he used to play with the Leopard.
He's played with
everybody.
Super talented drummer. He's
versatile.
He's
talented in general. Like, I mean, the dude can rip guitar.
Yeah.
Great big.
I saw a couple sets that he did just by himself, like where he had loops, and he would, you know, play guitar, then he'd go like loop a bass, then he'd go back and play drums. And then he'd like sing and just all of this stuff. Like, he's a one man show.
He's a one man band.
All around.
He's awesome.
He's an excellent engineer. You know, he's great.
You guys ever watch Fro the Wandering Madman?
No.
Guy's a beast too.
That dude can fucking play everything.
Yeah. He lives in his van.
A solar powered van.
Yeah. Tours the country playing out like. It's his mobile studio. He's got all of his gear set up. He's got like a garage door on the side that he just rolls up and he plays out to the crowd at festivals or whatever. But yeah, same thing. He'll do a drum, guitar.
It's amazing.
He's got a really cool video on YouTube where he starts playing drums and he'll spin around. Like, he's got everything set up in like an L shape.
Oh wow!
So he'll play his drums. And then he'll come back and play some keys, and then he'll sing, and then he'll... it's insane.
Yeah.
That's
awesome.
It's on YouTube?
Yeah.
He's
one
of the...
I'll look it up.
And
you.
Like Please the fact that like he gives all his music away for free.
Awesome.
He does it all like, you know, for donation and stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, and he just gets by, you know, putting out positive energy, and people support him. And
that's
incredible.
Back scratching.
That's
you gotta do it.
That's like the way that music and musicians, I feel, should be. You know, I just, man, there's so much shit on the radio, just bullshit.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just like brainwashing so many people thinking
that. Look at
that
can of worms you just
opened. I know. I'm probably taking way too deep, but I don't know, man. Like, I listen to the radio in the shower. And, like, I'll turn on 103.3 up to way too often. But, I put on, like, 103.3, which is groovy, but, like, it's the same like, 10 songs over and over. It's, like, Fleetwood Mac. All right, cool.
Pink Floyd, man.
You know? Yeah, I'm like, where's some other stuff? But then that's the only radio station, really, one of the few, 881.
KDHX. That's what you need to be listening to.
96.3 now. I give big props to Kurt Copeland, though, because that guy's
Kurt
lovely man.
Dude.
What a dude.
Yeah.
What
a cool dude.
But,
he's so great.
They play a lot of pop
guy
music.
Guy loves the Rolling
Stones,
but has to play Katy Perry on there.
Yeah,
right.
Has to play Charlie X.
We hung out with him for hours before we had any idea who he was.
So cool.
He was so rad.
He's just like, y'all want some pizzas? / you guys want to like smoke with me real quick? Like, all right, yeah, you crazy guy. Who is this guy?
Who is this guy?
Later, Kurt Copeland. You know, like.
So the quick small story with that is it's called Loft Sessions,
DJ,
and that's also
celebrity.
On Olive Downtown.
Yeah,
and, it's like this like online.
Shout out to Matt and Nick.
Yeah, it's just like web series where they film a couple songs in their loft, and then they'll just they'll feature them.
They feed you, they get drunk, you jam with them.
Well, we're hanging out and we film our songs, which was really cool, really fun. It was awesome.
It's all great quality too. They're talented dudes as well.
Yeah. Oh, you can tell everybody's like super passionate. Like that's their thing. That's what they're doing. You know. And so this one guy who turns out to be Kurt Copeland is encouraging us to stick around. He's like, man, stick around. We all just get out the instruments and jam, man. It's going to be great. And so, I'm not kidding. We jammed with him for hours. We hung out with him. We're, like, drinking with him. Like, the very end of the night, it was like, Kurt, what was your last name? Kurt Copeland. And, like, I was like, are you? I was like, Kurt Copeland? And he's like, yeah, that's me, man. Like, fuck off. That's me. I'm like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
This whole time, man.
Like, I like that you've been feeding us beers on Facebook, and he's like, he's basically like a local celebrity. Like, he's a personality, radio personality.
I've known that name for a long time.
I could not believe how cool.
I was like, holy shit, that's you, man. Like, it was really cool to hang with him for so long without knowing, you know. And then it's just a nice little perk. It's like, oh shit, you know, like you're great.
Is that fucking with it?
Just a little bit of background noise, people jamming.
People jamming.
This is the story of Lon.
Yeah. I got to learn from Casey on the show next week.
So, all right, dude.
I'm excited about that.
I'm from a long line of Casey listeners, so you're telling him I said what's up.
Yeah, I really did.
I like those Sunday Night Full record cuts. Yeah.
Sunday Classics, yeah.
Yeah.
Seventh Day.
It's awesome, man.
Yeah. Show number 75.
Daily dose of Led Zeppelin.
75.
Yeah.
That would be great, man. Good for you.
Well, yeah, man. Well, guys, I think we're getting ready to get blasted out of here.
It's really rad guitar playing, though.
Oh, yeah.
I'm really impressed. It's good. It's some really bluesy, great shit.
But yeah, thanks again, guys, for hanging. This has been a lot of fun.
Thanks for
having
us.
Yeah. So yeah, come see these guys live. Go pick up the EP for free.
Do it.
Yeah.
And,
hell yeah.
Can't be free music.
See you out there.
Can't beat it.
But yeah. All right. That's episode 74. That's a wrap.
Peace. I'm out of here.